Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 20th, 2020. We are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 83, the fourth paragraph down. Today's readers are Kathy G. on the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Kara L., Eileen M., and Shannon M. Our share IDs for yesterday and this morning, the special edition for yesterday's share ID is 13,994, or 13994. And for today's 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, the share ID is 13,997, or 13997. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Kathy G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. It's Kathy G., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Illinois. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us, and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy G. And Rhonda R., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Good morning, Kathy. The 12 traditions. I'm Rhonda R. from Georgia. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 83, the fourth paragraph down, and I will ask Kara L. to get us started.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of usefulness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Good morning, my fellows. Again, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. What a paragraph to read this morning. I've heard this paragraph many times, many, many times. I don't know if I've always listened to this paragraph, but I've heard this paragraph many times, and I don't know if I've always comprehended this paragraph. I will say the gift for me today is that I am actually living this paragraph today. reworking my steps and having a spiritual awakening. And now these words that I got the privilege of reading this morning today, I'm almost near tears. I am. They're so beautiful, and they are coming true in my life. And I used to just wonder if they were, and I know now because I've had a spiritual awakening that they are. And I didn't know. I mean, this is one set of promises. There's so many promises in this book, and we'll be getting onto the Step 10 promises soon. And those are just as beautiful. My favorite line has always been from this paragraph: "We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us," because I never knew. And now I know, because I ask every morning for my higher power's intuition. I see that same word again. You know, when I read a little farther and in the morning I'm awakening, I ask, if I don't know, I ask for intuition. And it says, "I will intuitively know." It's because I've asked. And it's because I know now I have a connection with a higher power who will guide me. And so things that used to baffle me no longer baffle me, you know. And it's a beautiful way of life, this design for living. You know, my job is to be of service. Be of service to others, and my job is to keep my path clear, anything that blocks my path to my higher power, so I have the ability to be of service to others. And this paragraph just reminds me of everything that I get when I do that, when I keep my path clear, and when I can make conscious contact with my higher power, and then when I can work with others. And how I do that is working these steps. I work these steps with vigor, and then I take other people through these steps, because that's my job. And I'm ever so grateful for it. I'm ever so grateful for all of my fellows. Coming off the birthday party, meeting everybody in person was beautiful. And it reminded me, I listened to the speakers, reminded me of my job today, to be of service. I'm eager to hear what everybody has to say today about this paragraph. Thank you for all those that share, and thank you for all those that do service on all of the meetings. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. Okay, I'd love to take some names of people who would like to share what Kara read.
Barbara.
Ross G.
Barbara E. Roz G. Who else?
Amanda B.
Amanda.
Irene B.
Stacey J.
Donna B.
And Donna B. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Barbara E., Roz G., Amanda B., Eileen B., Stacey J., and Donna B. And we'll get some more later. Barbara E., please share with us.
Good morning. Can I be heard right now, or did I just mute myself?
You can be heard, Barbara.
Oh, wonderful. Well, there are promises all through, over 100 promises in the big book. We saw that it worked in others. We come to believe in the hopelessness and futility of life as we've been living it. We have found much of heaven, and we have been rocketed into a fourth dimension. The promises go on. And then there are warnings in the big book as well, that if we fail to enlarge our spiritual life, we might go back to, for me, compulsive overeating again. And above everything else, we compulsive eaters must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. Warnings. But for me, these nine-step promises were transformative. AA promised me two things. One, that the obsession to compulsively overeat and harm myself with food would be removed. And the second, that I'd be given a new way of life that would be infinitely better than the tortured one I was actually living. The part in the nine-step promises that says, "I will be amazed before I'm halfway through," meant for me that I started to feel amazed when I was halfway through making my amends. Somehow I really did feel differently. The promises say I will know a new freedom and a new happiness, and no longer be bound to my compulsive overeating, and I'll be free from the bondage of stuffing my face and hating myself in the morning only to do it all over again. It says I will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I used to feel great shame when it came to my actions, and what I found through doing my amends is that I began to come to peace with a lot of the people and institutions I'd harmed in the past and could actually use my experiences as a resource. Peace and serenity, that no matter how big a hole I'd fallen into in my compulsive overeating, my experience might help others. And finally, lessening my fear of economic insecurity is one that waxes and wanes for me. But I just pray to God and just keep doing what I'm doing, working with others and knowing that this has been the best 2 decades of my life. And by bringing God into my life and utilizing the steps and paying it forward, I will keep these promises. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. Roz G., please share with us.
Good morning, everybody. This is Roz G., and I'm in the honeymoon phase after this birthday party. It was so amazing. And what when Kim G. was our big book speaker, and she used this paragraph as a juxtaposition on what we used to do when we ate, or at least what she did, and I would like to kind of utilize that. Well, first of all, that this is a painstaking process in order to live these promises, which I am living as well as everybody else that has shared. I have to go through some pain. A price had to be paid for me to be able to see, wow, my life is like so amazing today. And yeah, when I ate macaroni and cheese, I felt a new freedom and a new happiness. You know, once I got that chewy macaroni and yellow cheese in my vision and in my stomach, I had a new happiness, you know. And I didn't regret any of the way I treated people. I just, you know, put the food in my mouth and I didn't have to feel it and regret it, you know. And I felt serenity and peace when I ate that stuff and, you know, chocolate chip cookies. And then I didn't feel useless, or the self-pity all went away when I shoved all that stuff in my mouth. And I lost interest in my selfishness. I didn't self-seek when I was eating that stuff. And My attitude upon life changed. But guess what? As with Harlan, it only lasted for 9 minutes, and all of that stuff came right back. But this weekend, I experienced all these promises. And yes, just about every day I experienced them. And I also learned in the last speaker share that life is not going to be unicorns. There's still things that I'm going to have to walk through abstinently. But and one of them is my gas bill. My gas bill was over $200 this month because it's freezing here and I want my family to be warm, so we use the heater. When I saw the bill, it was like, what does the big book tell me? Economic insecurity will leave me. I don't have to be worried about it. I used the heat in order to heat my family and my dogs. I have the money to pay for it. Before, I wanted to make sure I had enough money to pay for my food and my selfish, self-centered junk that I wanted to buy, whether it was food or other things. I don't have to do that today. I have a plan. God does this for me. Oh my gosh, just letting myself go, have a good time, dance my butt off, not having to feel fear about what was going on at home, knowing that everything was taken care of, because I'm living an abstinent and honest life today. And oh my gosh, and God did it all. I didn't do it, but yeah, I had to put my hand in his by going through the painstaking process of these steps. But you know, I look forward to that. I look forward to working them over and over and spending my life helping others and being on these meetings. face-to-face and on the phone. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. Amanda B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Amanda B. I'm recovered in Toronto, Canada. And, man, I'm just so happy to be here. I had a major surgery last week, and it says no matter how far down the scale we have gone, our experience will benefit others. And I think there's three things that strike me. Number one is this is no longer about food. It's just about God. It's all about God. I always say, well, I struggled with my higher power in the beginning. Like, how does this God of my understanding, how does he let bad things happen, like X, Y, and Z? And no matter how far down the scale I went, my experience has been used to benefit others. Everything from, which I share openly, like about just trials and tribulations when it comes to sexual abuse and this and that, like, no matter how far down the scale I've gone, I don't understand why God has things happen because I'm not God. But I know that my experience has benefited so many other people. And even when I'm going through an experience like this surgery, I think to myself, I wonder what God will use this for. And I can't imagine going through my life without program. I just look at my family and I can imagine it. And when I say going through life without program, it's not without a sponsor and it's not without meetings, it's without God. Going through life without a sense of security, that there's something that loves me and protects me and that I've been put here for a very specific reason. Going through life without that versus going through life with it is so different. And so no matter how far down the scale I've gone, my experience benefits others because I think that's God's will, is to help benefit one another. I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to go through this with the love of other people and the program and knowing that God is behind me. And, you know, whoever thought that leaning over a toilet, crying and trying to get food out and blah, 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 my experience, that experience would later benefit me to have a relationship with a higher power and to not be eating compulsively. So anyways, with that, I'll pass. I feel like I'm rambling a bit, but I really, really appreciate you all being here and letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda B. Eileen B., please share with us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Eileen B., a very gratefully abstinent bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I just want to say that I am so thankful for this program because I am learning to connect to God and to see the beautiful masterpiece of the life that I've had that enables me. Now I see it as a blessing that enables me to relate to people who are in pain, to relate to people who thought that they were or they are hopeless, because I was the one who was hopeless for so long. And with this program, I have been able to overcome what four inpatient, four outpatient treatment centers could not do for me. 30-some-odd therapists could not do it for me. But this program has helped me so much to overcome this compulsion, this bulimia that controlled every second of my unstructured time in my life for 40 years. 40 years of hell, of not living, of feeling disconnected, of feeling alone. I'm not alone anymore. And you guys are my connection to my lifeline. But I have learned that my connection is not a human being, because human beings, we are all humans. And the only thing that has helped me, that I never believed and that I thought it was hogwash, is a connection to a higher power who loves, validates, accepts me, doesn't judge me harshly, who meets me where I am, who loves me just as I am, but too much to let me stay the way I am. I love that saying. He loves me so much that I cannot stay the way I am. I know there's better things for me. And I am already years, light years away from where I was when I started this journey. But I know I still have so many other light years to go, and it's okay. But by the grace of God, I am free from the obsession of the need to binge and purge. I am free from the obsession to have to quiet down my feelings. But I didn't even know what those feelings were. All I knew is I wanted to eat.
It's time.
And with that, I pass. There is hope. There is hope, and the hope is found in a connection with God that this program teaches us. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eileen B. Stacy J., please share with us.
Thank you. This is Stacy J., recovered food addict in Toronto. First thing I want to say about this beautiful paragraph is that I had to make my step nine amends for these things to happen in my life. And like someone shared earlier, you know, a price has to be paid for these promises. They don't just come through positive thinking or, you know, just calling into the vision line. You know, a sacrifice and several sacrifices have to be made. And I made some amends that were really uncomfortable to make, and I was really scared. And like making an amends to my boss for being in a food fog and not doing the work I was hired to do in many, many days because I was just eating. And I had such a feeling of exhilaration after making an amends to him that I felt like a channel was opening and a new kind of awareness, a new sort of spiritual power was coming into my life. And, you know, promises like this, I'm struck by. I just did a service in an organization, a training program that I graduated from in my, you know, my dream career, where I now get to do that thing professionally, but it's new, and there is economic insecurity associated with beginning a new career. It's scary. But I just gave a seminar on Saturday, a three-hour seminar to people who are currently training, and I worked for many hours and hours preparing that material, and if I was in the food, I would not have been doing that. I would have been eating. I wouldn't have had the energy. The energy would have gone into eating, and it didn't. It went into preparing. And right after that seminar, I had agreed to do the service of organizing the food and drink for a graduation for one of my colleagues who was graduating. And so I was organizing food that I don't eat. And in fact, I ate nothing at that graduation. We probably all have the experience of trying to make a dinner out of hors d'oeuvres. I don't do that anymore. It's not a peaceful practice for me, but I didn't care what the food was for me. I cared for them. And it like, I can see that there was no self-seeking in any of that stuff. So I can sort of look backwards at the event and see that the promises were happening where I have been losing interest in selfish things and gaining interest in my fellows, and that none of those activities were about self-seeking. And I can tell you that the freedom that I have experienced with my employer is that I had an experience before making that amends where we were in an elevator together and I felt ashamed because I hadn't apologized or owned up to my behavior, and I felt bad being in his presence. And now I feel happy being in his presence, because I have nothing to, I've cleared up my side, and we're clean with each other. So that's I'm over my time. I'm sorry I went long, but I just wanted to share that, and I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stacey J. Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. The thing about the promises for me, these nine-step promises, is that because part of my disease is living in self-pity, I don't often experience the feeling of amazement unless I'm guided and reminded to actually look and seek for how these promises are coming true in my life. Just like it says God could and would if he were sought, the responsibility of seeing God in my life falls on me looking for God in my life. And I feel that way about the promises too. I don't wake up every day or go to bed every night in a feeling of amazement and awe of how the promises are manifesting in my life. That just isn't my innate nature. My innate nature is self-pity that drives me to want more and more and more, to compare myself to other people and to see where I'm lacking. It is such a great pleasure for me as a sponsor to sit down with my sponsees and pause and look at these promises and really seek, how are these showing up in your life? And for me to also point out to my sponsees how I'm seeing these promises show up in their life. And that's a practice that my sponsor does with me, to pause and really say, wow, hey, can you see how different you're handling this situation than you handled it 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago? I see that you're changing. Let's celebrate that together. I've had the flu for 2 weeks, and I never knew that the flu was different than a cold, but it is. It is a horrible, horrible, very painful experience. And it's been really isolating. And that when I'm isolated and alone and not able to practice self-care, like walking, being in the sun and the fresh air and moving my body, I slowly kind of die on the inside and have a harder time accessing my higher power and accessing the ability to see, to seek, to look. I'm so grateful to be feeling better. I have a date with a neighbor to go for a walk this morning, and on that walk, I will seek the sunshine and the breeze and the movement and the companionship of a friend. And with that, I just encourage everyone and myself to seek, to seek, to seek, to pause and to seek. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Okay, we have time for another list of people who want to share.
Marina K.
Marina K.
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
Julie E.B.
Julie E.B.
Jean J.
Jean G, was that, or J?
J.
J.
Wendy Mayer. Wendy M.
M. And perhaps one more?
Ricky M.
Ricky N. And there was one other, I don't know if we'll have time for you, but what was your name? Okay. All right.
It's Reggie or Kathy.
Oh, Reggie. Okay.
If you have place for one more, this is Raquel from Israel.
Yeah, I don't think we will, but I'll write you down, Raquel. Okay. Marina Kay, please share with us.
Hi, this is Rowena Kay, recovering compulsive overeater in the United Kingdom. Thanks for letting me share. Yeah, the sentence that stands out for me in the reading is, we will know a new serenity. And I'm beginning to know serenity. I'm not halfway through. I'm still on step four, but I've been doing step four, the Herb K way. And it's made me realize, you know, just how full of self-loathing and self-hatred I've been, and what that causes me to do, which is to put everyone down so that I feel okay. I've been, as much as I'm addicted to sugar and food, I've been addicted to putting, you know, people down. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm putting myself down, or I'm imagining that somebody's putting me down. But through the process of going through the columns, you know, I realize that's what I'm doing. And so now, when I find myself putting anybody down and myself, I, you know, I just turn to my higher power, or I try and say the opposite of what I think I'm thinking. And it helps, you know. But most of all, it's just handing it over, handing that defect of self-loathing, which I didn't know was so big of me, handing that over to my higher power and praying. And that's given me serenity and freedom, because my mind isn't, my head is not so full of chatter. And there's space in my head for thoughts and, you know, for thinking and thinking. But, you know, I mean, in terms of thinking about life and growing up, because, you know, suddenly I can go, oh, right, so there's a problem with something or other. And I'm beginning to have some kind of intuition, and things are feeling a little bit more spontaneous, you know. So, yeah, thanks so much for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Rowena K. Michelle J., please share with us.
Well, thank you so very, very much. Michelle J., kind of the new kid on the block. I've been in program a year and a half. You all have heard me probably before. And I used to start by saying, I'm recovering. And then I was saying, well, I'm recovered. And lately I say, I'm recovered, but still recovering. And as I'm listening to the reading today and listening to all of you, I have been just really wrapping my head around the promises, because I don't know if this is for like this for a lot of you, but for me, I felt like I'd be climbing up a mountain and I'd reach the top, and at the top were these promises and they came true. And then all of a sudden in my journey in the program, I'd look up and there was a whole nother preface to climb. Oh my gosh. And I'd climb up that mountain and I'd get to the top and I'd find those promises and the promises would come true. And then there was another. And so anyways, I'm at the realization that in my naivety, I thought I was going to get something and have it done. And I have to rest and understand that it's not about the end of the journey. It's the journey itself. And when I hear somebody, you know, sometimes say to me, you know, walking the journey together, it's a reminder. And I want to thank you for all being there, because, wow, I have a lifetime of this journey. It's going to be a good one, but it doesn't just reach its top and we all become these perfect guru people that have it all together. But we are getting there, and we will find these promises throughout the journey. And then we'll have some more to work on until we are gone from this world. And for me, I'll be in heaven with God for eternity. But, you know, anyways, with that, I think I'll just pass on that one. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle J. Julie, E.B., please share with us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado today. And, you know, there's a line in there that we'll realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And that's one of the first little prayers that as I went through reading line for line with my sponsor and went through and was highlighting prayers that I saw as a prayer, even though it occurs in different parts of the book. You could say it's a promise. You could say it's a lot of different pieces as it pops up several times in the big book. But I find it to be a very helpful prayer. God, please do for me what I cannot do for myself. And I remember when I was first recovering and got the college financial aid offers for my oldest son, and he really hadn't picked sort of a safety here, a cheaper school, and it was $10,000, $15,000 more than we had. And I just remember crying and crying, and then these words emerge, God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. And then I discovered there was this appeals process, and I worked it with one person and then the other college that you really want to go to. And I started, and they did the appeals process as well. And there was some, large medical debt we've had for many years that I really hadn't shared in that process. And they were able to give him the aid he needs. You know, he's cruising along now. Now I look for that. Like, that for me is how I increase my conscious, my awake 11th step, increase my conscious contact with God, or I'm working my second step of God restoring me to sanity, is by understanding. I feel like when I pray that prayer or listen or look for this promise, God does for me what I can't do for myself. God, please do for me what I can't do for myself. It's a huge step up the escalator that keeps moving down, that is my disease, because it's admitting every time I pray it, every time I claim the promise, that I can't do things for myself, and doing things for myself got me sick, dead, and dying in this disease. So thank you. I'm glad we have these promises to share together, and that we can turn them at times to a prayer. Thanks.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Jean J., please share with us.
Thanks. This is Jean J. in Portland, Oregon. So the sentence in here that I thought I'd talk about is, the self-pity. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. Good old self-pity. Oh, yes. So genius how it's set up, of course, and matches the world's great philosophies and religions, in my view. But the amends come first. And in making the amends, why we take responsibility for our actions, for our attitudes. And by virtue of doing that, why this idea, this feeling of victimhood, in my experience, dissipates some. I mean, this is, you know, not an overnight process, of course, but it lessens. And along with that, the feeling that I'm dominated by the world, you know, please tell me how I am, so on and so forth. Everyone's right and I'm wrong. I'm going to go eat worms, all that stuff. And with that, so with that lessening of the victimhood and feeling dominated comes a decrease in self-pity. The pour me a drink. And then with that easing of that, and of course this is all progress, not perfection, but even a slight easing, as the big book tells us, it just has to be a crack, comes a little bit of pluck that I get to work my day with my higher power. And that pluck puts me in a stance of willingness to be tolerant and kindly toward others, instead of going to resentment and fear and lapsing there into that morass of self-pity. And for that, I'm really, really worth the price of admission here for me. I appreciate it. All right, and everyone here in the meeting. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jean J. Wendy M., please share with us.
My name is Wendy M., and I am a grateful, recovering bulimic and compulsive overeater. Excuse me. Got a frog in my throat this morning, I guess. calling from a beautiful, chilly, wintry state of South Dakota in the Northern Black Hills, and for that I am grateful to be able to experience the seasons, and I'm grateful for many things today, but especially for this meeting. I got myself on a roller coaster over the weekend and trying to get off of it. And so this meeting has been very good because the promises, of course, you know, like someone said, there are many, many promises in this book, but these are the ones that speak to my heart, especially the one that says, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I'm a addict of many kinds. And in my lifetime, I have caused a lot of heartache, headaches, wreckage. And to be able to have gone through these steps and to get to this ninth step and to make some really scary amends, but have benefited from the promises after the amends and still in the process, because I am now going through the steps again with my OA sponsor, and step six is this kick in my butt. But I know from just walking through this and getting to step nine, and there will be the miracles that will happen as they are already today. And so I'm anxious to get grounded again. And there's another phone meeting that has marathon meetings all day today because of Martin Luther King Day. And I am grateful for that also. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Wendy M. Ricky N., please share with us. Ricky, press star.
Hi, this is Ricky M. in Pennsylvania. The kids are home, so I'm going to try to see if I can do this. I wanted to share, for me, the promises are really important. It's what got me, once I got into program, it's what has been helping me hold on every time I was struggling and white knuckling and the pink cloud. And I was waiting to get to the promises. And you see glimpse of them, but really now, once I'm getting further down into step nine, I finally see that, like, wow, the light is shining through the clouds. And what the experience, that spiritual experience of, you know, being able to struggle, seeing character defects. Just this morning, you know, I was feeling good, I was feeling relaxed, and then I realized that I packed my husband lunch and I packed myself lunch and he took my food, and that immediate reaction of fear and panic and you know, selfishness, you know, this is my food, how dare he, it takes over. And normally I would you know, yell and scream and just react. And then to be able to engage and then have another experience, I can't help the reaction because that's my character. That's the way God made me. But being able to connect with God and say, please help me deal with this. Do for me what I can do for myself. And then pray about it and come up with an, okay, let's meet halfway and we'll exchange foods. I mean, that for me is a promise. That was promised when I came in 6.5 months ago. That was the promise. That you will be able to deal with things that used to baffle you and things will be clear. I am blown away that I'm able to handle things that I couldn't handle before, to make amends and then mess up again and then make amends again and then keep trying. Progress, not perfection. You know, I'm in control. I like to do things my way. You know, every day when there's a vacation day and the kids are off, my body starts freaking out. What am I going to do? Today, I have no plans. But God's will is my will. And that for me is such a gift. And I would love, I love to share that. And I'm so happy to be here today. That I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Ricky N. Unfortunately, Reggie O and Raquel, we won't have time for your shares. I hope you'll pick up the phone or get to share at another meeting. Thank you all for joining me today. And in particular, I want to say a special thank you to Kathy G., Rhonda R., Kara L., Eileen M., and Shannon M. for helping me lead this meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Eileen M., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.